Welcome back, podcast family.
Yes, welcome back, y'all.
And as always, we want to thank you all for supporting us. And we provide the links below the episode notes if you want to learn more about being a supporter. And we did really good until last week of getting an episode off every week. So we're going to try to get two off this week to make up for it.
And as always, we want to send out a special shout out to a few of our supporters. This week we've got Raish Crossan, Jane Hooper, Anonymous, Nina Berg, and all the rest of our supporters. It's because of y'all that we can keep sharing our experiences and information in hopes that we can help each other. So thank you again. And remember that if you have Lewy body dementia or you're a caregiver and you'd like to be a guest on our show and talk about your journey, or if you're an advocate for someone living with Lewy, please contact myself or Linda Zapula through Messenger or email at lewybodyrollercoaster@gmail.com.
And in the very beginning, we always shared about our Zoom meetings, and we stopped doing that for a little bit. So we wanted to keep reminding people that to consider joining us each week in one of our Zoom meetups. The Zoom link is the same. It's on the top of the page. It's the same link for all of the Zooms. We do one Mondays and Fridays at 11:30 Eastern. That's for those seeking a diagnosis, have a diagnosis, and caregivers. There's one for spouses only on Saturdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, one on Thursdays at 4:30 Eastern, just for those with Lewy body or seeking a diagnosis. Typo there. Are you reading that, Curry? That typo I got right there?
Yeah, I got that.
I knew you were going to say something, so I beat you to it. Again, the links to these are the same, and it's posted under the announcement sections in both the Lewy Body Roller Coaster podcast group and in our Journey with Lewy Body group. And we hope everyone listening will consider joining us in one of the Zooms. Also, now transcripts are available. If you Google the podcast on Buzzsprout, Buzzsprout, and you listen to it there, you get right to Buzzsprout, and there's a spot on there you can click transcript. That's new. So at least for the last three episodes, that's been available. I have to do some research to see if I can make it go all the way back. Stay tuned for that one.
Okay, folks, today we have someone special. We have a care partner to share his story with his wife, Linda. And when I say someone special, I mean special. Bill has become a good friend to me, and I cherish his friendship, and I'm glad to have him on here. Bill, can you share with us a little about yourself and where you live? Then we can ask you about your Lewy story.
Now, let me just say, I am now going to become Podcast Linda, and then Curry Linda, and then we'll say Bill Linda if we're talking about, because
right.
Curry, now you got another episode with three Lindas mixed in.
I know, that's the second time.
Well, you know, you're asking me who I am. I've been trying all my life to figure that one out. My first wife, she said I thought I was God Jr. My second wife was something a lot less flattering. And after that, I met my sweetheart. She just called me sweetheart for 32 years. Basically, I'm a 74-year-old Christian, live in Central Texas in Hamilton. I married an angel with six kids. And that was 33 years ago. Some people call me courageous. Others call me an idiot. I guess I'm just a courageous idiot that don't care what they say. Because I've gotten much better than I deserve. So that's about all I am, all I'll ever be.
I can say for sure that you and I both married up.
Yeah, I did too. I definitely did married up. And if you follow Bill, I don't know if he posted it on our pages about his, if you haven't, Bill, copy and paste it your 74 versus 75-year-old story that you just,
yeah.
I'm just going to say post it because it's a funny story. So
yeah.
Tell us about your Linda, Bill's Linda, your Linda, Bill. And her Lewy story. Yeah. You share with me that from diagnosis to her passing, it was a short period of time, but I know you have so much more to share with our listeners that could help those still on their journey?
Well, you know, it all started well over 2 years ago. I've got at the time he was 6 years old, a grandson living with me, and he would always say, "Mama, why is your hand shaking?" And I never noticed it, but he did. So anyhow, we went to the doctor, and, you know, he just came up with some, well, it could be old age, it could be any number of things. And she was pretty persistent. So, you know, she goes to the doctor, you know, she's got a COPD, asthma. I mean, she just had a bunch of respiratory problems. So we were always at the doctor. Anyhow, and then right before that, she had had COVID. So anyhow, I decided we need to research this a little bit further. So in the meantime, I'm one of these guys that if there's something going on, I'm always on the web, pecking around, trying to find out everything. And I noticed one of the diagnoses was Parkinson's and Lewy. So naturally, being the doting husband, I said, we want to see a neurologist. And we went to see one in Waco, and it took several months to go see him. But once we saw him, he had her, you know, walk down the aisle and do several hand gestures and, you know, their typical tests that they run. And he told her she had Parkinson's. And by this time, I had already done a ton of research. So he said, "I want to see you. When you walk out of here, go up to the receptionist desk and tell them you want the next available appointment." And we walk out there, and I make the next appointment, and come to find out it's 11 months away.
Oh, wow. And
yeah. So naturally, that didn't set too well with me. So we got back home, and I started trying to find another neurologist, one that we could get in to see a little bit sooner. And we did. And he had basically the same thing. And all this time I'm doing research, we get back to the family doctor, and he said, what'd they say? And he said, well, they said it was Parkinson's, but I'm not convinced. It sounds more like Lewy bodies to me. And he had heard of Lewy body, but he didn't know anything about it. So naturally, I educated him. And I told him I wanted to see a movement disorder specialist, and there wasn't one on our insurance that I could find. So he had his nurse doing some research, and she found one in Round Rock. And so naturally, I made the first available appointment I could, and we waited and waited and waited, but we finally got around to seeing him. And he said, yes, it's definitely as definite as he can make it, Lewy. And that's pretty much how we came up with it. She did real well for about 18 months, but those last 6 months was a rapid decline.
Okay, you answered my question. I was going to ask you how long it took you to get diagnosed and what process you all went through. Can you share a little bit about that?
Well, yeah.
Like
tests
she had and all that?
Well, yeah. She did all the hand gestures and what have you. Walked down the aisle. He wanted her to do a sleep study, but she just absolutely refused that. And, you know, basically, I pretty much diagnosed her.
Mm-hmm.
I had started joining the Zoom meeting, and I knew what to look for, and frankly, I knew more about it than the doctor.
We see a lot of that.
Yeah. Now, so that she didn't have an MRI or a PET scan or none of that. They just gave a working diagnosis off of her symptoms.
Oh no, no. They did PET, MRIs, CAT scans, but they just couldn't find anything. You know, nothing abnormal. I thought they would say nothing abnormal.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew something was abnormal.
You kind of did what I did with Jim, because I think I started researching before we got his results too, you know, the same kind of thing that you went through. And so you and I have that alike, you know. I just did, and I thought for sure they were going to say he had Lewy body when we had our first meeting, and he said he had Alzheimer's, and within a month it was changed because I was... You know, we always tell everybody, like, write down all the symptoms your loved one or you're having. So I was just keeping this running, like, journal to share with the doctor. And pretty much I diagnosed Jim, too, and shared with the doctor. And he's like, oh, yeah, I think it's Lewy body. So it's, and a long time ago, like, when we started this curry, maybe 2.5, 3 years ago, I would say, you know, I just have to believe that his doctors are going to get better at diagnosing this. And it's slow, but we're hearing more stories trickling in that more doctors are now becoming aware of it. So keep sharing, everyone, you know, share with, even if, you know, your neurologist tells you have Lewy body or your loved one, share that with your, you know, your eye doctor, your ear doctor, your foot doctor, your family doctor, just, you know, and order from the NIH, National Institute of Health. You can get the booklets on Lewy body for free. Just have them with you and hand them out, because that's, I think it is up to us to educate the non-neurologists. Although the new family doctors coming out, the younger ones, like Curry, you've had really good experience with them knowing.
I had real good luck with three of them now, you know?
Yeah. Especially
they're teaching more and more about it.
Yeah, especially being in small towns. You're always in small towns,
I know, right?
You know? So that's encouraging. So, Bill, we talked a lot, because I was just telling Curry before, you know, we've talked that I write up scripts and color code it, so we all have something to follow. But I always call the person coming on beforehand and just ask them a whole bunch of questions, which Bill and I was just saying, by the time I was in the car when I did it, by the time I got home, and several times, Bill, did I not say, I hope I remember that. I hope I remember to ask you that. And I don't. So I'm like, when I wrote up this script, I have no idea. So I'm throwing it to Bill and hoping his memory is better than mine anymore. But you shared with us, from your Linda's diagnosis to her passing was a quick period of time, but you were sharing so many great things that could be helpful to other caregivers. That's why I was like, okay, you got to come on and share this. So I'm putting you on the spot. I remembered one, you know, I just wanted to see if you could share with our listeners things that could help other caregivers as they live with their spouses changing sometimes each and every day, hour to hour. For instance, the one thing I remember is you said what you did when she kept asking to go home.
Yeah. When she would want to go home, sometimes I would, if it wasn't in the middle of the night, we'd get in the car and drive around the block. She kept saying, I want to go to 422 North Brown. And I would say, we are. I'd take her outside and let her look at the address on the house. And then she said, no, I want to go to the other 422 North Brown. One time, in fact, she knew there was a Brown Street in Gatesville, which is 30 miles away. One time we got in the car and I drove down Brown Street in Gatesville just to let her see that our house wasn't there. But frequently, like I said, I have got a grandson living with me. I'd load Dathan up, we'd get in the car, and I'd say, we got to take Mama for a ride. And sometimes we'd come back and she'd say, yeah, this is it. As a matter of fact, rarely would she say, we just left here.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the other things we'd do is, number one, once she got on hospice, she was deathly afraid of going into any nursing home or, and she didn't completely, she was afraid of dying. She just, we've got all these grandkids, and she said, who's going to take care of them when I'm gone? That was her number one concern. So once we started with hospice, I told hospice, the word hospice is never mentioned in my house. You're called home health. And then I told Linda, I said, you know, even though we're across the street from the hospital, it's so hard to get an appointment. I've arranged for the doctors to come to you. And she accepted that. A lot of times she had asked me, which Bill Shipman are you? She had, I think it's called Capgrass or whatever. Mm-hmm. But she said, are you the real Bill or are you an imposter? And so, first off, I invented a hand sign. I'd hold up one finger. And that's because that means this is Bill number one.
Oh, okay.
And I told her, I said, don't tell that other guy our secret hand sign. So if you see me hold up that one finger, you'll know that it's the real Bill Shipman. And if the other guy doesn't hold up that finger when you say, who are you? You'll know that he's an imposter.
That's a good idea.
And when that didn't work, sometimes I'd just say, I'll go get him. And I'd go off into another room and change shirts and come back and say, yeah, sweetheart, were you looking for me? And that helped pretty good. Sometimes we'd call one of the grown kids, and they'd try to tell her, "Yeah, the real Bill is there. The other one, I don't know who he is. I've never met him." It's just, you know, anything I could think of at the time to, you know, to calm her down and, you know, let her know that, hey, I'm the guy that married you. I'm the guy that loves you. And I'm the guy that's going to take care of it, no matter what.
Yeah. I think the one about you leaving the room and changing your shirt, that's good.
And, you know, anything to make a difference, anything to just satisfy her. That, you know. We went months, and that was, you know, that was my only goal, you know, make it easy. She was terrified. She didn't understand Louie. She thought it was like little worms in her head. And she just, you know, she didn't understand it. And she fought it.
You know, I can kind of vouch for her, but for lack of better words to say it, that's what I want to say, of not understanding Louie. I had a very hard time in the beginning of understanding. I'd never heard of it, neither had my wife when I was diagnosed. And so we spent a lot of time, both of us, on our phones doing research the day I was diagnosed. And it took quite a while for us to understand Louie. So I know how hard it was on your Linda, because I know how hard it was on me and my Linda.
9/21/23 was my first meeting, and I've been at almost every one since. I look forward to those meetings. Another thing that I did, when nothing else would work, I would just have to tell her, honey, I'm all you got. It's either me or a nursing home. And, you know, sometimes I just have to bow up and you know, be the bad boy, be the big guy.
Yeah.
When nothing else worked. But I would always try to do it, you know, with, you know, loving compassion. And, you know, sometimes she wouldn't talk to me for several hours, but, you know, you do what you have to do. That's all I can do. You just do what you have to do. Get as inventive as you can.
Yep. And it's hard when, and I think it came across in the documentary that's soon to be done, I hear, I hope. Kari, you got to preview it. I have mm-hmm. not been able to watch it yet, but I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think there's a part in there where another caregiver said she just loses it, you know, on her loved one. And then mm-hmm. And Bill, I'm sure you can attest that you feel terrible after that happens. I mean, sometimes it's just gets overwhelming every now and then, depending on how Louie's rearing its ugly head. And there's times that, I mean, I don't think I ever said anything mean to Jim, but I guess he could tell that I was just overloaded, like my patience, and I would feel terrible later.
Oh, there's times when my Linda has to tell me, she'll say, Curry, you're being an ass, you know, and that lets me know right then how bad I'm being, because I don't realize it when I'm doing it.
But I mean, the other way around, like, have you seen Linda? Oh, your wife is a saint in my eyes, because I can't imagine her ever. Well, he does tell you, put you in your place. So,
yeah, she does.
Have you seen it where she's been overwhelmed with some of your Louie and just, well, I guess that's her telling you, you know, knock it off. You're being.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I've seen that several times.
Do you think she feels guilty about that? I'm saying no.
I think she does.
I know she does, but I'm envisioning her with a metal frying pan, because I've been sitting next to Curry when I wanted to smack him upside his head. No, but as a caregiver, you feel guilty.
She threatens me with a cast iron skillet every now and then.
I got to text her and tell her to video when she actually whacks you. Go ahead, Bill.
Sometimes when I have to blow up, I mean, frequently, even when I weren't having to blow up, you know, I couldn't let her see me weak. I had to always be the strong one. And, you know, frequently I'd walk back here in the office and I'd close the door and just sit here and cry like a baby mm-hmm. because I didn't know what else to do. And, you know, so, you know, this is an ill disease. And if you don't have the emotion, you ain't living. I mean, mm-hmm. It's very emotional for anyone, caregiver, patient, you know, anybody.
My Linda, I know she has cried, but she told me that I would never see her cry. And I never have, you know, I've suspected it, mm-hmm. but I've never seen her cry.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, and me saying that, the one time, it was towards the end too. It was probably when I didn't realize it was towards the end. I went out food shopping and I came back, and the minute I walked into the house, it was just like this weight, like just came back upon me, and my back was hurting, and I remember my friend Manny was visiting, and I was just like, the minute I walk into this house, like the stress. And I turned the corner and Jim was standing right there. And I felt terrible that he heard that. But just as your Linda, I never let Jim see me cry in front of him. Yeah. I did what Bill did. I go take a walk. When we went to New Orleans, that's when we separated bedrooms. I'd go back there and just close the door, lock the door so he doesn't try to get in and see me. So I, mm-hmm. you know, it's As much as Jim didn't share with me, because I think he was trying to protect me, he didn't want me to know what he was going through, I was protecting him from not seeing me, you know, mm-hmm. go through it. Because I wanted him to think, you know, I promised him I'd never put him, he'd never go to a home. And we were able to, you know, honor that. It's just, you know, it can be hard sometimes. But Bill, you mentioned that when you first started coming to the support groups. And if anyone hasn't, if you're listening and you haven't joined, especially if you or your loved one is recently diagnosed and are having a hard time accepting it, I can't even tell you enough about, you'll come to these meetings, you don't have to turn on, well, except for the spouses group on the weekends, the Monday and Friday group, and even the Thursday group, if you want to come in and just listen. You don't have to turn on your camera. You can listen, or you can turn on your camera and just say, I'm just going to listen. We just had somebody do that yesterday, that hearing from other people with the disease and their caregivers, and how uplifting our groups can be. And Bill, you went and found a group, and like you said, it. Now, can you hear that sawing behind me? You can't, can you? Okay, good. Someone's in my basement fixing up something. And I, thank God Andrew got me. Thank you, Andrew, for picking this microphone. But anyway, Bill, you came into the support group looking for information, and just share with us why, well, we know why you started coming to the support group, your thoughts on attending the groups while caring for someone with Louis, and or, I mean, you've seen the other side of it too, because Monday, Fridays, we have people with Louis. Share with our listeners your thoughts on attending our support groups. Or any support groups. It doesn't have to be ours, just a support group.
I went to another group once or twice, and it just didn't fit. It was so scripted. This group is so free-flowing, and, you know, I still need these people. These people have become my family, and closer than some of my real family. I love these people, and they love me, and it's just big, just wide open arms. It was refreshing to know that I wasn't in this alone. I learned more than I ever dreamed I could from these meetings. You know, one person would try one drug, and they'd talk about the side effects, and of course, that'd give me something to go research. You know, so I still need these people. You know, it's refreshing to know that the spouse can survive it, because I honestly didn't think that I could. And I see people that have gone through it, and, you know, for years and years, and I still don't know how you survive. You know, the caregivers. It's a hard road.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got a lot of former caregivers in our group who have lost their loved one who had Louis, and they, so many of them stay with the group. It's really surprising to me, well, and I'm thankful that they do, because they help people like you, Bill, you know, and it's very important, and I appreciate you staying in the group, because You help people like crazy, and that's really, really appreciated. You know, some of y'all don't know it, but Bill came over to my house last week. He drove up here, flew up here from down in Texas, and flew into Tulsa, rented a car, and came onto the house. And we had a real good time. I've got to say, I really enjoyed meeting you in person, and I can't wait to see you again.
Tell him what he brought you.
Oh yeah, he brought me 85 Reese's peanut butter cups.
And how many do you have left?
My favorite candy, and there are none left.
What?
Yeah.
Did you eat them all?
I did.
Dang you. I'm not visiting now. That was going to be my, oh my goodness, Curry was in Hunt.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Shame on
Plus
you.
I had that lady that sent me all those Buckeyes, and I ate all those.
You know what?
Time for another Amazon order, it sounds.
Give him a little time for his body to digest. But and then Bill and I talked about this also. Like, he said he wanted to stay with the groups just to help, and the same reason why I want to start going back to the Saturday group, because, you know, I've been through it, and I have some advice for those people going through it. And I honestly, you know, Curry, you know, I, Bill, the same, I didn't think I was going to make it out of the grief. Yeah. I didn't think I was going to make it out of the grief. And it was really hard for me to come back to the groups, and because I would, you know, somebody would just say something to me and I would be in tears. And which,
oh, I really felt for you. You have come such a long way, though.
And I mean, I can recently. Yeah, I can cry in a second still, but yeah. And I at first, especially the Monday Friday groups, I haven't been back to the spouses one yet, and I'm hoping to go back because I keep getting messages from people, when are you coming back? Because I've lived through it, and I can share, you know. I can share what I lived through, you know, and I wish there were people when I was attending the spouses only group that lived through it, you know, to give, you know, everyone's different, but when you're towards the end, it's kind of the same story. It's just, you know, different chapters maybe, but it's kind of the same story. And it was really hard for me. I mean, for all of that first year, I was hit or miss if I would come to a meeting. I didn't think I was going to make it where I am today, but then I found coming to the groups was better for me than not coming to the groups. And it helped that, helped that I helped start them, so I had that little bit of guilt.
I was going to say, it's a shame that we had to start a widow/widower group, but you have taken the reins on that and run with it,
mm-hmm.
and you're doing a fantastic job. Like I said, I hate that we had to start that group.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this last year has been really hard on our group. We've lost quite a few members.
Yeah.
And it's just really a shame. Some of them hung in there a long time.
Yeah. And, you know? And just for you to know, because Bill and I have been talking that we think that Bill's going to consider doing a widower group. Just for the men and the, you know, and then I will run the widow group. Just because it's, you know, if certain things want to be talked about, I think it'd be more comfortable if the other,
definitely
the male or female wasn't in the group. So I was talking to him about doing that. Because I can, you know, I can see how that would, could keep people from sharing some things that they want to share. But if you, I mean, I think maybe once a month we get someone to come in to one of the meetings who is, I think, usually it's a Thursday group. Sometimes it's the Monday, Fridays where they're just diagnosed and they're just in denial. And there are people in the group who came into the group feeling the same way. And like our friend Tom, we give this, the new people, Tom's not, we give Tom their number and he calls them, and it's just hearing it from somebody else who's been in your shoes. I mean, that's, again, I'm kind of had to come back to the groups because, you know, you and I started them and it wasn't fair for me to just dump everything on you. But just from hearing it from people that have been through it, wish I wasn't where I am today, but and I think it's a little bit blurry. I'm pretty sure we did a podcast shortly after Jim died where I explained everything. And I just, couldn't tell you what I said. And I remember crying through it. And afterwards, you know, I was like, I don't, you know, vaguely remember doing it. But I figured it was going to help people, especially with the hospice experience, you know, to be educated with that. So it's, you know, Bill, you're kind of like where I am. Just let's do something positive with this. You know, where we have this terrible thing that happened, but we can.
Yeah, Linda, you have come a long way. You really have. I know it was hard on you, but you've done really good. You've done real well.
Yeah. Well, Bill, I'll tell you, it's sometimes the one little thing will set me back. You know. And it's just, it's a process, that's for sure. But doing this keeps me busy, so keeping busy is a good thing.
Yeah, it is. I've got to tell y'all, I told y'all when I met Linda Zappulu's Jim, and I told y'all when I met Sam, and I've now have told y'all about meeting Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a feeling you really can't explain, you know. Bill gives a good hug, mm-hmm. guarantee you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Bill, I want to thank you for coming over and seeing us.
I enjoyed every minute of it. And really, it was the highlight of my last year.
Mm.
And I'm anxiously awaiting getting back, hopefully before September.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good deal.
So before we ask Bill if he has any final words of wisdom, I'm thinking maybe the next podcast we record, Curry, we talk about September.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to leave it out there because we're working on something here behind the scenes for, I'll just say, an event in September for people to attend. So we're ironing out a few of the details, and then maybe next week's podcast will just be talking about the event that we're working on. So just leaving that there for everyone.
Which Bill is involved in too, mm-hmm. and he has been a big help.
Yeah. Yeah. So Bill, do you want to give any final words of wisdom for our listeners that we haven't talked about yet?
About the only thing I can say is to hang in there. That's all you can do. You'll cry, you'll pray, you'll do everything under the sun, but hang in there. What helped me is I just kept reminding myself that this life ain't nothing but a journey. And it's just a journey to get me to the next one. And, you know, it's just a stepping stone. So there's life after Louie. There honestly is. I didn't think there would be, but there is. So hang in there. Don't ever give up. Quitters never win. Winners never quit.
Yeah. And thank you for that. And I'm just going to chime in and say, you know, for the caregivers, once when the day comes that you're on the other side, consider still staying on the pages and helping everybody still in the journey, because it really means a lot to the people.
It really does. Yeah. It really does.
Yeah. So again, we are going to have a big announcement. Hopefully, well, I don't know, maybe we can get it two podcasts out this week to make up for being a little late last week. But I'm going to blame that on you, Curry.
Yeah, it was my fault.
It was your fault this time. I'm like, I'm blaming it on you this time. It's not my fault. So just stay tuned. We're going to definitely have everything posted and details on the Facebook pages. And then we just don't want to announce it until all the kinks are ironed out, because the teacher and me, everything has to be all planned out before we, because we mentioned.
If it was up to me, I'd just blurred it right on out.
Which
but I'm going to do it Linda's way.
Which we shared it in one of the support meetings, and it was like, all these ideas coming and you should this and you should that. I'm like, no, this is why we have to plan it. And then, you know, we'll have it all planned. Yeah. So just don't blurt it out, Mr.
Like a wild.
Yeah. Yeah. So don't even think about it. All right, Bill, I want to thank you for coming on and sharing, you know, the good information that you were able to share and how you dealt with some of the things that you and Linda experienced. It's really going to help a lot of the caregivers for sure.
Definitely. Well, folks, that's all we have time for this week. We can't thank Bill enough for coming and sharing your experiences with our listeners, Bill. Please remember, we want all of you to be a part of our podcast series and share your thoughts on topics you want to hear about. We provide our email address below in the episode description, so please feel free to send us an email with topics you want to hear about or topics you want us to explore. We always love to hear your feedback, whether it be good or bad.
Yep, and we cannot thank you all for supporting us and to keep the podcast going as we continue to share and learn from and with one another. And remember that we are doing this podcast for all of us, and we really appreciate you tuning in each week. We just hit over 50,000 downloads last week, which is mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly mind-blowing, but thank you for everyone who continues to be patient with us when we can't get one off every Wednesday, and that continue to listen.
Yeah. And folks, as always, we'll continue to post the link for the podcast each week for you in my Facebook group, Our Journey with Louie Body Dementia, and on our Louie Body Roller Coaster podcast group page, as well as many other groups. So thanks for joining us.
Until next week, this is Linda.
Dan Curry, signing off.